Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, as well as understanding the Bible. Now, God has given His Word, and very important for us to understand this. He gave it to us because He wants us to know about Him. And He wants us to understand what is right in our lives through Jesus Christ, as well as to understand how a civil government should conduct justice according to the laws of God. Now, in most nations, in particularly in the United States, they know the criminal justice system is broken. You have too many judges that don't know how to judge. You have too many who are there with special interest and lawless judgments, letting the wicked off for little or nothing, and they come back and prey on the society again. So we saw in the previous segment how God gave the death penalty to all the nations. Now, if they would have followed God's way, it would have resulted in less crime, and we wouldn't have the vast prison system that we have today, which requires hundreds of billions of dollars to maintain, especially with all of those who are in there for life in cruel and unusual punishment in little cubicles. God didn't want that. That's not God's way of doing things. Well, when you read in the Old Testament and the laws of God, a lot of people say, well, I disagree with that. Well, you disagree with God. Let's see what God said about His laws and the criminal justice system that He gave. Now, it's also based upon a society that is basically governed by the laws of God. Now, let's come back here to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and let's see something that's very important. God demands all nations to keep His laws in the letter of the law. For converted Christians in the New Testament, we're to keep the laws of God in the spirit of the law, with the intent. See, because that's what's wrong with modern Christianity today. They have a lawless grace that throws out all the Old Testament, and they fail to realize that all of these laws and commandments that are given here should be applied in the governments of the nations today. Now, notice what would result in that, as God told Israel in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. What would happen if they would keep God's laws, God's statutes, and God's judgment? All right? Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Now, these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord our God commanded to teach you, so that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God to keep His statutes and His commandments which I commanded you, you and your son and your son's sons, all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. You see, God even wants carnal societies and nations in the world to have peace, to have justice, to have a tranquil society, so that people can go to bed at night not worried about being broken into by thieves, by murderers, by thugs, that they can go to bed at night in peace and security and not have gangs run through the neighborhood shooting and killing, and who knows who's going to get hit with a bullet or not. See, because we don't execute the judgments and commandments of God the way He intended us to, and because the death penalty is not properly applied to crimes the way it should, and because the restitution and rehabilitation plan of God is not applied in other crimes we have a tremendously lawless society. We have an unjust and broken system, even so corrupt that judges are corrupt, prosecutors are corrupt, innocent people are convicted and sent to jail, just so a prosecutor can say, oh, I have so many convictions, aren't I a good, tough prosecutor? Well, that's not the way that God said it should be done. See, God said we should keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments so that it will be well with us. Notice here, verse 3, hear therefore, Israel, and be diligent to observe it, so that it may be well with you, that you may greatly multiply as the Lord God of our fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. And that's for us today. That's all being taken away. Why? Because everything is so corrupt. Because we have a broken and lawless judicial system that does not follow the commandments and statutes and judgments of God. And God set up a judicial system with justices, with judges, and with rules, and with regulations on how those who commit crimes should be convicted and what they should do about it. So let's come back to Exodus 21, and let's pick it up again here in verse 22 so that we understand a great principle, because so many people have just misunderstood completely these scriptures. Verse 22, Exodus 21. If men strive and strike a pregnant woman so that there is a miscarriage and no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband may lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. They had a judicial system. Now notice, here's what God said. And if any injury occurs, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now, what does that mean? Well, verse 23 clarifies all of this. If you take a life in murder, you forfeit your life. If there is loss of an eye, loss of a tooth, loss of a hand or foot or arm or leg, then you shall pay as the judge determines. Now let's look at one thing that we have, which is very good, that is helps the judicial system quite well, which is auto insurance. Now, you get this insurance so that if you hit someone in another car, that the insurance company will pay for a life so much, for the loss of an eye, for the loss of a tooth, for the loss of a limb, so much, and will also pay medical expenses until they're completely healed. Now, that system is following God's way more than any other. And doesn't it work well? Yes, indeed. So if we would follow that with the rest of the judicial system and carry it out the way that God intended, then it would work just fine. And when they understand how much they have to pay, and another thing that is important, we will see, which is this, if they have nothing to pay, then they will be sold. Now, how would that happen today? Very simply, there would be a system in the states where those who committed crimes that are not worthy of death, if they had nothing to pay, then they would become wards of the state to work, and they would be paid compensation. And at the same time, they could be rehabilitated. How about giving them lessons in the Bible? How to love your neighbor, how to take care of them. And as the judge determined what it would be, that's what they would pay. So you see, like with automobile insurance, that covers those accidents, doesn't it? Well, just think what that would do for the society. Instead of having people locked up, unproductive, taking tax money, requiring guards, requiring prisons, requiring all of that to the tune of billions and billions and billions of dollars annually, and think of all of those who are in there for their life sentences. That's why God said, you shall execute them if they commit a capital crime worthy of death, because that is cruel and unusual punishment to keep them in prison all the remainder of their lives, to say nothing of all the money that it cost. How about if some of that money were given to the victims? Oh, we can't do that. Why not? Or we could put it another way. Why do you defy God? Why do we say we're a nation under God and defy God and reject his commandments and statutes and judgments concerning the criminal justice system? All right. In the Old Testament, we had ox goring or horse trampling. Same thing would happen here. Let's read it. Verse 28. If an ox gores a man or woman so that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be clear. Was an accident? Accidental death? He shall be clear. Now, verse 29. Now, what if it was an ox that was known to gore? Notice. But if the ox was known to gore in time past and his owner has been warned, but he did not keep it in, so that it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned and his owner shall be put to death. Oh, now, if you knew that was the punishment and you had an ox, what would you do? Oh, you'd make sure it was safely confined, correct? I remember years ago, I went out to see a man who was in the church visiting him, and he had a dairy farm. And he had given up artificial insemination and got a real live bull. And you know what? God blessed him for that, because it increased the birth rate with twins. He would have, instead of occasionally twins, in 1 year, he had 10 sets of twins. Double profit, right? Right. So he took me out to show me the bull that was confined in the barn. And he had Holstein cows, and so he had a big Holstein bull. And so he opened up the door where the bull was, and all of a sudden, here's this huge head. It must have been this wide. Big bull, see, and I was glad that he was confined in there and he took care of him. And he said, you know, Fred, he said, the best thing to do is not keep the bull more than 3 years, because they get really feisty and mean after 3 years. So sold for hamburger at the end of 3 years. But you see, here is a man who was following God's way, did it God's way. He never had any problem with his bull goring someone because he kept it in protected confinement. And he used the natural things of God and was blessed by God tremendously because of it. Now, if the relative, say, of the one who died because of an ox gore, there's an exception. Say, well, I don't want him to die. So, verse 30, if there is laid on him a sum of money, which is by the judge, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatever is laid upon him, whether it has gored a son or has gored a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him. That's what God wants. Restitution and rehabilitation. Now let's come over here to chapter 22. Let's talk about those who are thieves, those who are caught stealing. Now, every once in a while, you can go by a store or a supermarket, and there's the police car right out there. And then you go inside, and you see the police, and they are arresting a shoplifter. Now, God has a perfect way of solving thievery. It's not to lock the thief up in prison and deprive him of being rehabilitated so he can get out of prison to steal again. No. Here's what he's to do. Chapter 22, verse 1. If a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Amazing. Think about that. Apply that to car theft today. If you steal a car, and now they can catch them very easily, instead of carting them off and running them to jail, if the car be found whole and safe, he is fined, he is put into the rehabilitation program, he is to work, he is to pay the owner, and the owner will be compensated as much as fourfold. Don't you think that would stop a lot of car thievery, shoplifting, and so forth? Yes, indeed. Let's go on. Verse 2, if a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, no blood shall be shed for him. You can protect your own property. What do you know about that? Yes. However, if he's on his feet and able to live, then he can be rehabilitated. Now, verse 4, if the theft is certainly found in his hand alive, whether it is an oxen or a donkey or a sheep, he shall restore double. Then there are various things concerning what do you do with the field, what do you do when your animals go into the field and start munching down someone else's crop, destroying their vineyard, destroying their wheat crop. What do? You compensate for them. If someone had 2 wheat fields side by side and someone's cattle got out and went into the neighbor's cattle and munched down an acre of wheat, then the one who was the owner of the cattle would have to restore the equivalent of an acre of wheat that his cattle ate. Now, what would this do? This would make sure that all fences were secure, right? Yes, because that's loving your neighbor as yourself. See, all of these things here are love your neighbor as yourself. Give a chance of restitution, rehabilitation, and you can be guaranteed there would be very little recidivism in these cases. That means that the thief can recover his dignity, pay for his crime, and live according to the way that he should. The one who is the victim has been repaid, has been restored, and society can move on. That's what God has determined it should be. Let's see what he says here concerning the oath between men and neighbors in sharing their animals or their property. Verse 10, if a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey or an ox or a sheep or any animal to keep, and it dies or is hurt or is driven away no one seeing, an oath of the Lord shall be between both of them that he has not put his hand to his neighbor's goods, and his owner shall accept it, and he shall not make it good. Now, verse 12 says, well, what if someone steals it while you're keeping it? Ah, another problem. And if it's stolen from him, he shall make full restitution to the owner of it. Amazing. Now, this shows that if someone gives you something to keep, an animal or something like that, you're to take care of it as your own. Because if it's stolen, you're going to make the restitution. Amazing, isn't it? If the owner comes with the ox and someone says, well, I need your oxen to plow my field. So the owner says, okay, I'll come and I'll use my oxen and we'll plow your field. Verse 14. If a man borrows it from his neighbor, and it is hurt or dies, and the owner of it is not with it, he shall surely make full restitution. If the owner of it is with it, he shall not make restitution. If it was hired, it came for its hire. Well, that's what God expects to be done. That's how you enforce these things. Now, what if you have a difficult case? All right, let's come to Deuteronomy 17. What if you have something that is really hard to solve, and there's hatred, and there's bitterness, and there's strife? What are you going to do to solve a Hatfield and McCoy, as it were? Okay, well, you have a whole justice system. God gave a justice system so that it would work. And here's what he said. Let's come to Deuteronomy 17, and let's see what God has said. And let's see how we could apply this today, and how much better the society would be if this were so. Wouldn't the society be so much better off with making restitution to the victim, rehabilitation to the one who's the offender, and that he can realize the severity of his crime by paying for what he has done, rather than freeloading in a prison, using up all kinds of taxpayers' money? You see, God's way was that you only had a small little jail in order to determine the case. Then when the case was determined, it would be either the death penalty if they committed a capital crime, or restitution and rehabilitation. So we'd completely do away with the whole prison system that we have. Boy, would that lower the taxes? Yes. Let's pick it up here in verse 6, Deuteronomy 17. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. Very important, because there would be people who would come into court to lie because they hate their neighbor. That's happened. At the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Hello? You've got to have two witnesses. You can't take the word of one. Now, let me just give a little commentary on John the 8th chapter, where a woman was allegedly taken in the very act of adultery. What was the problem? God says the man and the woman shall be put to death. They only brought the woman, so no one could condemn her. So Jesus told her, "Who's to condemn you?" And she said, "Lord, no man." He said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." He didn't say, "You're exonerated because you didn't do it." He knew that she had sinned. But you see, you've got to have both. That's why Jesus gave that judgment. All right, let's come down here to verse 8. If a matter is too hard for you in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, being matters of strife within your gates, then you shall arise and go to the place which the Lord your God shall choose. What were they to do? They were come to the priests and the Levites and the judges, and they were to examine the case and make a judgment based on the word of God. Verse 9. And you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge that shall be in those days, and ask. And they shall declare to you the sentence of judgment. Once that's declared, then they were to do it. And you shall do according to the sentence which they declare to you from the place that the Lord shall choose. And you shall be careful to do according to all that they tell you. Now, after this, then there was to be a teaching from the sentence. According to the sentence of the law which they shall teach you, according to the judgment which they shall tell you, shall you do. You shall not turn aside from the sentence which they shall show you to the right hand or to the left. Now, if anyone was presumptuous and would not listen to the judge, he would forfeit his life. Now, that's God's criminal justice system, completely contrary to what we have today. Just think, If all the nations of the world would follow these very simple, easy-to-understand laws and judgments in the Bible, how much better their societies would be. So that's God's criminal justice system from the Word of God. So thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and go to cbcg.org and look up the sermon on the last great day, 2009, to understand what will happen to those who die and have not had an opportunity for salvation. So this is Fred Coulter saying thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, so long.